Hey everyone, and welcome to Variety Radio Online. I'm Rachel, and on the line with me I have Emily, and today we are talking about Once Upon a Time's sixth episode of the sixth season, Dark Waters, which, I have to say, pretty great episode. I mean, I think it's kind of a given that Emily and I are kind of hook trash, so...
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny little bit. We have a new vest.
Well,
Kat and Swan had a conversation. Yeah, so I'm excited to talk about this.
Those are just the minor things that happened.
Yes, these are just the minor things. But really, Hook got a new vest. I mean, I think that's number one here. No, I'm just kidding. Overall, did you
notice that before I pointed it out to you? Or did you already know?
I noticed when they released the promo pictures, so
I apparently didn't look close enough at them the first time around. I was looking at more of his face, but...
Girl, you know how I feel about vests, okay? And my cosplayness, I was like, oh my god, it's blue! So...
It's bluish black.
Anyway. I don't know what color it is. It's like a navy...
Like,
and
indigo
sometimes
black.
It looks purpley. Whatever, it's beautiful, and I approve.
True.
Overall, I have to say, this episode was a lot better than last week, in my opinion. I am not being biased. I'm just talking story-wise here.
What was last week about again?
Aladdin and Jasmine.
See? I don't even remember.
No one was talking to any- last week just pissed me off, because no one talked to anybody. Like, that's literally my biggest complaint, is that they all just kind of, like, gave each other longing looks, and, like, no one really- had a conversation last week. I wasn't here for it. I need depth and conversation. So, yeah. Which we got this week. Everybody kind of started working through some stuff, which I was here for. The beginning of the scene, well, first off, I'd like to know how Emma knew he was up early, which means they're sharing a bed now.
Where is the bed scene, Once Upon a Time? Okay.
I'm starting to lose hope here, guys, because...
This is my biggest thing, though I guess we know, like, obviously, like, season one, I'm basing everything milestone-wise off of Snow and Charming, because there's parallel
right?
couples. They're the only true legitimate couple that's been, like, you know, through all the paces, like, relationship to marriage to kids, like, the whole arc. So, at least successfully. So, I feel like they're my go-to for, like, reference. I mean, I guess in this first season, not that this is the first season by any means, but, you know, we didn't really get them together. Like, you know, obviously it's like, oh, she's pregnant. We all know how that happened, but I mean, not like they really show.
Stork, Emily. What else?
I mean, obviously. but I feel like this Captain Swan development is that, like, snail, like, good sometimes, bad some other times.
Yeah.
So to me, it feels like. Yeah, but I feel like at this point, okay, they're moving in together. Unless they're going to try it. I guess the only time we saw Snow and Charming really, like, compromised in bed, or, like, any kind of in
tacos.
Bed. It was, like,
making
when
tacos.
It was an awkward moment. So I feel like...
Honestly, I just want a parallel of that scene to, like, David walking in on Hook and Emma or something. Like, Mary Margaret, I don't care, because I think Mary Margaret's kind of, like, still kind of tries to play, like, the best friend role. Because, like, when they went on the date, she was all giddy and, like, tell us all about it. David's
everything.
Like, I don't want to hear everything. So...
And when she was like, David, be cool about the fact that Emma was moving in with him and how he was getting all puffy about it.
Yeah,
I think the same thing. But yeah, all I wanted was, not that they even had to be, like, they could have been wearing
pajamas
for all
I care.
That were totally not sexy in any way, though they would make them sexy, obviously, because beautiful people. But... Like, that could show that they probably just slept next to each other. I wouldn't even care. If all I want is her waking up and seeing that his side of the bed is empty and, like, putting her hand out or something. Just anything.
Yeah. Because the domestic scene that they gave us, it was just bad. Like, I'm like, we're finally getting these domestic scenes here, and I'm just like, what is this? Like, really? He's gardening? And the fact that Emma doesn't question it just really makes me mad.
Yeah, her lie detector's clearly not working.
Clearly not working this week.
yeah, I did like that. Her face was kind of cute how she was...
It was cute, but it's like...
Yeah, I didn't realize you had a green thumb, but it's like, okay, he's gardening in the garage. What is he... Is he potting plants? Like, what?
Let's what be real. Hook is growing weed, and he's selling it to the dwarves.
Apparently.
That's my theory. Hook's a drug dealer now, guys. Okay? He's gotta make that money somehow. He's gotta... You know, that house probably has a really big mortgage, guys. He needs to bring home
bacon. Definitely. How does she afford this house? Did she just, like, decide to move in because no one was living there? And since Storybrooke money just apparently does not exist.
Can Storybrooke be a real town? Hey, no one's here. I'm just gonna live here now.
Is planted by a curse. Houses wise, you don't really have to pay rent because it's everything. Well, I guess everyone pays rent to gold, but now
but
that
do
whole
they now?
The whole curse thing is over. It's very complicated. These are questions I would love answered, but we're never gonna get them.
You don't question logical things on Once Upon a Time. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no.
But moving on, the Hook and Henry, like, Henry, I get that he's a teenager, and I would probably be mad if someone threw my Pop-Tarts out and offered me boiled mackerel, but I feel like he overreacted just a little bit.
Just a smidge. And I feel like I don't understand, it's, Henry's mood swings, I mean, you know, he's supposed to be a teenager, you know, moody, angsty, hormonal, whatever. That his mood swings give me whiplash because it feels like, okay, in Camelot, he was all gung-ho to help Hook find a house for them to live in together, and now
that's
he's like,
what
you're
I'm
not part of our family. I'm like, okay, calm down.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just like, okay, you wanted to go to the underworld to save him, okay?
Okay.
You know your
you
mom loves him.
He wasn't coming back from the underworld, okay?
Yeah, like, all this development apparently never happened. Like, I don't understand.
I know. It's like they threw it all out the window for, like, cloudy teen angst. They're like, well, when a teenager throws a tantrum, they don't see reason, so he's gonna be real upset. Like, what?
And I don't even understand what he's upset about. Like,
I get
is this all over? Like, I get the Shears thing, but at the same time, I feel like Henry, more than anyone, would understand where Hook is coming from.
Yeah. Especially, it's like, did he ever lash out at Robin like this when it came to Regina? Not that they were living together, but you know what I mean? It seems like out of place that he just... When it comes to... I get what they were trying to go for with, oh, he's in a situation where Hook is now less of, oh, this guy that I like and want to hang out with and respect, to, oh, he's like assuming my role of dad, like, because we're living in the same house, and he's telling me what to do, and he's bossing me around, and whatever, and that, like, triggered him, apparently, to be like, you're not my dad, you're not part of our family, but...
Which, I don't think Hook would ever even try to take that role, because of the role he had with Bellfire.
Yeah.
Like, he respects him too much.
Yeah, not
to even attempt
actually
that.
Trying to be his dad, but, you know, like, father figure.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. And the fact that they
wife.
Hang out all the time, and then 3 episodes ago they were sword fighting and having a grand time, and now they're like this awkward, like, I don't like, it's almost like they never met before.
Yeah, and when he was like, don't push it, I was like, Henry, you need to calm your little ass down, okay?
Like,
because I
go
was
to your
so,
room, Henry.
I was so happy with all of the Hook and Henry bonding and all the kind of development, but at what cost? Henry was being a little butthole and all angsty, and apparently the last 2.5 years of them bonding and doing things together means nothing. So I was happy with all the Captain Cobra stuff, but then angry at how it came about, because Henry didn't have to be that angsty. They could have had him be just, yeah, less of a butthole,
less of a kid. Like, grow up, Henry.
Yeah,
you live with all these adults, you should be more mature than this.
Yeah, I think this is the teen, like, in contrast to the all the adults on the show, just having this random teen angst, it just doesn't fit. Like, we're not watching Pretty Little Liars or something where it's, like, high schoolers, so it's just...
Yeah.
The adult versus kid dynamic is very different, and it's just, maybe that's why it's so jarring.
And they've tried the, like, angsty teenager thing before, and it didn't work. Like, when he had broken the, or he, I'm sorry, when they were in the underworld, and he got the pen back or whatever, and, like, oh, he's brooding up in his room. I'm like, this just makes him, like, an unwanted character.
I'm like, okay, you can stay in your room for the next three episodes then, because you're being a little... Yeah, I just, the teen angst just doesn't translate well, I guess, with the, I mean, I know it's part of growing up, and it's, the show's supposed to be showing, like, a family, and that's what would happen in a real family if somebody new came into the picture, and, but if this would have happened earlier, I would have been okay with it.
Exactly. Like not 3 years into their relationship together.
I know Henry kind of joked about it when she went on, asked him out on a date for the first time, like a real date. And he said, oh, I'm not happy about, you know, I'm not thrilled about it, but I want you to be happy. Like, okay. Are you sure?
Wow. Like, I don't understand it. And the fact, and when and then when he was surprised that he loved his mom, like, he's like, oh, you love her too. Like, where have you been, Henry? Where have you been?
Literally, he died for her in the AU. How have you not, and you saw it happen. How are you not convinced he died for her? You saw him get stabbed through the heart by her.
You
to
saw
go
him.
To the underworld.
Yeah, like...
And then he was going to leave himself behind because he knew there wasn't a way. At this point, how are you surprised, Henry? How are you surprised?
Like, I just feel like Henry was just, like, I don't even know who Henry was in this episode. Like, it just doesn't...
Yeah, it was like they backpedaled his entire character development, one, for the sake of drama, because to come in and stir shit up. Two, they wanted it to parallel the whole Liam 2.0 thing where, oh, Henry, they needed to show Hook how much Hook cared for Henry even when Henry was pushing against him and, you know, whatever, and they needed Henry to come back and realize he was wrong. I just, yeah, it was a lot of weird, and it felt...
And they could have done that without Henry being angsty. Like, he could have sent him on his own, yeah, and it could have come back. Like, there was no need for it.
It would have been one thing for him to be mad about the Shears, and that was it.
Yeah.
And that's, hey, you're not part... All of the... Though, I guess, when you're a teenager, it's like a teenager yelling to your parents, I hate you!
I never went through one of those phases, so maybe that's why I'm, like... I don't really relate, or I don't understand it. Like, because I never went through any of those phases. Like, an angsty teen... Like, yeah, I was, like, broody and angsty, but I never went through, like, hating my parents stage. All my friends did, and I'm like, why? Like, my parents feed me, they take me places. I'm like,
I think it's
out of the norm.
It's over dramatized in TV and movies, the whole angsty. Yeah. And that's their default when you have teenage characters that aren't the main characters. Like, if it's a show about high school and the parents are secondary, the teen angst isn't as focused on the, I hate my parents, they're ruining my life. But if the kids are the subset characters, then all of the drama surrounding them is going to be, wah, you're ruining my life, I hate you, wah. It's like just like the easy way out, mm-hmm. when like having teenage characters. And I think obviously for so long they've been trying to pretend that Henry's like 10 and 11, and now they're like, just kidding, now he's a teenager, and we need to like amp up the angst 20 million%. So it it doesn't make sense. I think the one thing though that would help put it all in perspective is I feel like there's never been a time where they showed Emma and Henry sitting down and saying, hey, this man is in my life, I love him, blah, blah, blah. Like, laying it all out. Like, saying, are you okay with him moving in with us? The whole, like, the mom conversation happened if a boyfriend was moving in. I know their family situation is different, and... He probably doesn't stay there every night of the week, but still, it would make more sense to me if Emma and Henry actually had, like, a conversation. I feel like they don't ever, except for last week when they got all deep and emotional. I feel like they don't really talk anymore.
Yeah. Like, I feel like nobody talks on this show anymore. And we didn't get to see them move in together. They just were suddenly living together. Now they're sharing a bed. So, like, the fact that we're skipping all these, like, pivotal moments is really annoying me. Because it feels, once again, like they have too many characters, and we aren't getting the depth that we need from the main core cast.
Yeah. Or more so that they're giving us depth in the wrong places. Like, I feel like there's less of, oh, there's too many characters, because obviously at this point, all of the rando Land of Untold Stories characters, now that Hyde is gone, I feel like they're just there in the background, and they're not trying to pull them to the front, really. I mean, Aladdin and Jasmine, obviously that's a bigger thing, but I feel like the focus is still on the main characters. They're just focusing on all the wrong, stupid stuff. Like, let's show Zelina and the Evil Queen going to the spa. What does that have to do with anything? I mean, sure, it showed them, like, trying to bond as sisters or whatever they're trying to pull, but I just feel like they're not giving the appropriate amount of time. They're giving this these little nuggets that they think that's going to make everyone happy. Oh, we're going to show them eating breakfast, or we're going to show them doing this so we can say that we're showing them being domestic and, like, normal. But then they're spending all of the time and the emotion and the deep, lengthy conversations on things that don't matter.
Like the Evil Queen. Honestly, I'm done with her. She's just there. She's not doing anything except stirring the pot. Like, and then Now we're going to go back to the whole, oh, I want Snow White's heart. Like, I am so sick of this plot line.
Yeah, it's like a bad dream that just keeps going. Like, oh, the Evil Queen is Snow White. Oh, she wants to take her heart. She wants to kill her. Okay, I thought we were over this. Oh, no, we're not.
Like, I thought the flashbacks were bad, but now we have to do it again in real life. And it's just like, someone help them come up with a new story.
Someone save the, just, yeah.
It's just, I really hope she's not around much longer. Like, I hope, like, I would have much rather had Hyde around a lot longer than the Evil Queen.
Yeah, at this point, I really don't know. It's like, how far are they trying to carry this? Because I don't know how much longer they can draw out this Evil Queen plot where apparently next week she's going to prove that she's trying to get the one thing she's always wanted, Snow White's heart. Okay, to me, that makes sense.
Which she's obviously not going to get, though. Like,
yeah.
So it's so pointless to even...
Yeah, so to me, it says, okay, so it makes sense character-wise for the Evil Queen, if she is 100% evil and has no part of Regina, supposedly, in her, that her main, what Regina at her evilest was to kill Snow White and take away her happiness and blah, 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 blah. So the fact that wasn't the thing from the get-go is weird to me, that she just didn't storm into Storybrooke and just start, you know, going after Snow. Though I guess if she has all of Regina's memories, she knows that maybe she knows she has to be more subtle. I don't really know. It's hard to understand how their brains work when they're two separate people, but they're still the same person.
Yeah. I don't know.
So good.
I'm like giving up. I'm just annoyed with it now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on from this. And how's this going to work? Because David and Snow share a heart, so...
Yeah.
What's gonna happen there with that? Do you have to get both pieces and put it back together? Are you just gonna take half? Like...
Well, if she takes the half out of David, he's gonna die. He can't.
Only if she crushes it, right?
No. I think he would literally... The fact that the heart is inside of him is what's keeping him alive. It's not like it formed its own heart. It's still her heart beating for him.
Okay.
So I think the second, it would be like the whole met from the Land of Untold Stories, they were unfrozen and then they died.
Yeah.
Or they're injured. I don't think, is at least what I can think, is that his actual heart was ripped out and crushed. So the heart that's beating for him is not whole and it's not his. So if it was to be taken out and put back together, that would mean that he would just drop dead.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That can't happen because
Josh
I'm really get back into freaking my love for Charming, and if they take him away from me, I don't know what
Which
I would
they
do.
Would not do. That's,
but
they
if you think do. About it, their original intent was to kill Charming in the pilot, and the Disney said, no, that's a little bit too dark. So at this point, they've gone to the underworld. I think
Disney's won't let them.
A little too dark is they've already passed that line, so I'm...
The underworld was not dark, though. I'm sorry, it wasn't.
Okay.
The underworld was so campy.
Well, true. But But you know what I mean? The thought of it all, the theme of it all was dark. So even though it didn't come out that way, but still. So I'm in the back of my head, put it past them to be jerks about it, or I don't think they're going to do it, but you know, just, it's not out of the realm of possibility in my head, which I will die.
Getting to the land of untold stories, we met Captain Nemo, and I have to say, I really enjoyed Captain Nemo more than I thought I would.
Same, he was not what I expected at all.
Not at all. And we got the squid, which was horrible CGI, which I was all here for, because, you know, it's what we do over here at Once Upon a Time.
If there wasn't bad CGI, it wouldn't be Once Upon a Time, obviously.
Exactly, like, it's its own character nowadays. It took me a good... Okay, so I first watched this episode slightly inebriated, because I drank a little too much margaritas at dinner. And so I cried a lot in this episode. And it took me a little longer than it should have to piece together the fact that the first mate was Liam. It literally took me a while. And then it took me a while to realize that the man that they brought in to the hospital was Nemo. So when that all happened, I was God! Like, I, like, lost it. Like...
Yeah, I didn't realize the whole thing. I don't know, man, at that point, maybe I wasn't paying attention enough to notice that they brought somebody into the hospital. I kind of was like, oh, okay, they found somebody in the woods, whatever. Didn't really think twice about it. But the fact that it was Liam 2.0, I caught on to mostly because I saw someone who was live tweeting and they said, it's probably Liam 2.0. And I thought, oh my God, it totally is. It wasn't my thought originally, but when I saw it, I instantly agreed. So I was like, oh, obviously, that makes so much sense now.
Yeah.
What would be the point of them bringing him in as a child and showing that Hook had some other brother if they weren't somehow going to use it to create drama later on?
And I really loved it. Like, freaking loved it. I want him to stay around. Like, I want him to, like, stick around. Like, I'm here for it. Like, I need Killian to have more family. Like, please give this man some more family. Even Nemo. Like, I want him and Nemo to, like, just kind of, like, join the merry... Yeah, even though I was just complaining about having too many characters, they need to join the band.
And I think it all makes more sense now, looking back, thinking about how originally you think, oh, Nemo captured him because he was trying to save him or whatever he said he was doing, but now it makes more sense. He knew that Hook was the one who killed Liam's dad and his own dad, obviously. But I don't know if he knew that they were related, but I know he knew that he killed him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And
it's hard to tell if he knew that the man that Hook killed was his father and also Liam's father, but I think he just knew that Hook was the one who killed him.
Yeah, because when he's like, oh, I want you to be a part of this family, I'm just going to randomly kidnap you because my harpoon said so, I was just like, no.
Lies. It was a little too convenient. But, yeah, I did really like how the whole time, oh, revenge isn't the answer, because he knew that, and I think he knows that Killian was, like, in the middle of that, and he knew that it'd been hundreds of years and he still wasn't satisfied. So I think that was part of it too.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of beautiful developments. And then when he was in, so back to Henry and Hook, obviously, because they're in the submarine, angst, whatever. Henry realizes that Hook does love Emma, because he apparently didn't know that before. What happened to Operation Light Swan, Henry? Okay, just remember
like,
that.
Like, for real. Like, I honestly feel like they forgot all of the Hook and Henry development for the sake of angst. And Killian's face, when Henry's like, you're not a part of this family, literally, like, that was a moment I cried at. Drunk Rachel could not handle it, and she cried.
Like, I could have understood if it was he was being moody, saying, I'm angry because you... Obviously, Henry's going to take Emma's side regardless. So they just didn't really execute it in a way that made sense. It would have made more sense if he said, I don't trust you, or I don't, like, why would you lie? He did say, why would you lie to my mom? But he could have said it in better words,
mm-hmm.
not just, no, boo-hoo.
And
like,
that's such a low blow.
Family. But obviously the reason they threw the exact wording in there is because that paralleled the whole fact that he took away Liam's family and he doesn't have a family and just all family pain.
When did Henry find out that Hook killed his dad? Like, when did anyone know that? When he's like, oh yeah, you told us that. I was like, when did this happen?
Well, I think the assumption is that sometimes when flashbacks are happening, that other people are telling that story.
So they're just talking.
Well, not every time, but you know what I mean? Sometimes, like, they use it in show the flashback, and then they were having a conversation. So I assume that's what they mean.
Because
Hook was with Regina, and she said, don't, something about his father, and he said, I told you never to talk about that again, or whatever, and I don't know. It's confusing.
See, whatever. I don't like that at all. The
fact that they're just saying that there's conversation, or that's their way of showing they're having
more development that they're brushing under the rug.
Look, there was more development, but we're just gonna disregard it for 2 seconds so that he can say something really angsty.
Speaking of more development, though, Hook and Emma finally have a conversation about the shears, and the look of hope on her face when he said he kept them.
Oh my God.
And then it immediately deflated when he's like, but don't worry, Swan, I took care of it. They're really gone now. And she's like.
But actually, they're not gone, because apparently the evil queen knows how to pinpoint shears in the bottom of the ocean.
I really, want another mermaid to pop up and be like, hey-o, here I am, I helped you out.
True. But yeah, I feel like the whole Emma thing, it was obvious from her conversation with Aladdin that she wanted to keep the shears, but she kept them out of, fear. She got rid of them out of fear that she would do something with them, and she didn't want to, she'd rather regret not having them than regret having them and doing something she regretted.
Yeah.
But she still wanted them.
But the fact that he was so surprised that she understood, I'm like, she literally did the exact same thing to you with Excalibur. Like, why are you surprised here?
Yeah. Like, she literally took Excalibur and made you into the thing you hated most in the world, even though it meant that she might lose you, just so you wouldn't die. How, at this point, are you surprised?
Exactly. Like, I was just laughing. Well, laughing and crying, because it was a great scene, and once again, it got drunk Rachel. But, yeah,
Hook, though, thinks that people are always, like, when he does something he's ashamed of, he assumes everyone else is equally as ashamed and disgusted at him as he is at himself, which is really sad. But, I think that even though he obviously recognizes that Emma did something drastic to save his life, but I think that since he's so ashamed of himself, he couldn't believe that she would not be as equally ashamed.
Yeah, because he was also extremely pissed off about that, which is understandable.
And then the last time he hid something from her was when he hid the thing about Selena, and she got really mad, so I think he was just...
So he's got some, little PTSD kind of with...
Yeah. He just assumed the worst because he thought the worst of himself. So, anyway... But it was still a good moment for her to say, no, I totally understand, because, hello. I'm not going to say what she did is worse, but it's kind of worse.
At least it's not I'm glad that it wasn't, an angsty thing between them.
Yeah.
Because I honestly thought they were going to make it dramatic.
He's hiding something for 2 episodes, and he's all like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, and I thought it was gonna, she was gonna get mad at him, and, they were gonna revert to stuff just for angst, which, clearly, they did that with Henry, so I'm like, swear to God, if you do this with fucking Emma, we're gonna have a problem here, because they're way past this point now. And the fact that they actually had a conversation about it, and they didn't get mad at each other, I was like, oh my God, they're developed.
Adults! It was great.
They adulted.
Mature adult conversation.
Snow and Charming, take pay attention.
Take notes.
Take notes. let's see. I guess we could talk about the Evil Queen and Rumple finally making out, which honestly, let's be real, that was kind of a long time coming.
You mean the fact that I barfed in my mouth? The funny thing was, at that exact moment, well, they were talking, so I kind of tuned them out because I was like, Evil Queen plus Rumple, my brain already doesn't care about this. And so I looked away, about 5 seconds, and I looked back up at the screen, and I saw them making out, and I thought, oh my god, it was very jarring to just look back at the TV, and their lips were all over each other. I was very disoriented by that moment.
I honestly was waiting for Belle to walk in and be like, hey, oh my god. Okay.
So I'm glad that they didn't have her see him through the window, because that would have been pointless angst. Because yeah. She does not care about him romantically at all. So for them to pretend that she would be jealous or hurt by it, I'm like, okay, that would have been unnecessary.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they didn't pull that trick that they, like how he saw Will kissing her through the window.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they didn't pull that crap Will. Again. So at least there's that.
Can't talk about Will.
Well, I know. It's still bitter.
I will forever be bitter about Will.
And you haven't even seen Wonderland. You don't even
I know
capacity of how amazing he is. It's so sad.
I know. It's not on Netflix, and I'm too lazy to... I mean, downloading stuff illegally is bad.
It's on ABC.com now. The whole
oh,
season.
Is it? Yeah. Oh.
Girl, get on that.
Well,
if I wasn't... I'm changing lives here, people, in case you didn't know.
I know what I'm doing now for the rest of the night.
Streaming on the ABC app and on their website.
Oh.
At least last time I checked it was.
Well then.
Yeah.
I think it's time to wrap this up now. No.
I mean, Rachel's got stuff to do now.
I got stuff to do. But yeah. I think that pretty much covers it all.
Yeah.
Be sure to check out our website for more recaps and interviews and news and all that good stuff at thevro.com. Like us on Facebook, we are on Twitter at TheVRO, and we are on Instagram and Tumblr at Variety Radio Online. And you can also find us over on Audioboom and iTunes. And we will see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo! Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Geico's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than Geico. More power to you. Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.